There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
8 o'clock hours. We get you to your weekend as quickly as possible on the official home of the Dallas Cowboys. We have the radio side with the pregame, play-by-play, and post Sunday night football between the Cowboys and the Steelers. If you missed Mike McCarthy, he was fantastic with us this morning. We'll bring you that at 8:40, but these guys have the TV side. Football Night in America on NBC. Tony Dungy, the Hall of Famer, joining us live on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Once again, back on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Hey, what do you say, guys? I am excited and fired up. I was actually in Pittsburgh yesterday to interview Coach Tomlin for our show Sunday night. And I tell you, the city is on fire waiting for those Cowboys to come in and renew this rivalry.
Coach, how much do you get, like, what secrets do you really get behind the scenes that you don't disclose on air, like in those pre-production, especially with the connections you have, former Steeler and Coach Tomlin? How much do you really get that you don't reveal?
Yeah, sometimes, depending on who it is, in a situation like this where I have a lot of ties in Pittsburgh, you'll get some things and some information. Coach let me watch practice, and I saw some things that I said, wow, this can help. And as I go on the broadcast and talk about it post-game, I'll have a different insight. But, yeah, you have to keep some of those things inside for sure.
Because we were trying to wonder this with Tom Brady. Like, if he gets involved with Raiders ownership, he won't be allowed in those. Well, that, do you think that would hurt you a lot as a broadcaster if you didn't have that access?
You know, it would. If you're calling the game, you get to see some things and you get to anticipate some things. Well, I saw this formation in practice, and this is what they're going to do. You're ready for it. It doesn't catch you by surprise. If you don't get that access, yeah, it would be a little tougher. And to go in and have the coach be honest with you. You know, I could ask Mike, hey, what are you thinking? How did he plan to try to stop CeeDee Lamb? And he's going to tell me. Because he trusts me. Now, if I'm calling the game, I can look out for that. But if I don't have that ability to do that, I don't have that access to watch practice, then you're kind of calling the game blindly.
Is this something that you didn't enjoy as a coach on the other side?
Well, you have to try to be careful. You want to help those guys do their job, but you don't want to give away things, and you don't want to put yourself out there, put your team at a disadvantage. So you have to be careful. You have to know who it is. And you get, you know, especially in the Cowboys situation, the Steelers, you're playing big games. You've got these national broadcasters. You get to know over the years who you can trust and how it's going to work.
Tony Dungy here on 105.3 The Fan. Coach, we feel like this is like season on the brink time for the Cowboys with this.
Amen.
why do you agree?
I just see the Cowboys playing a little bit up and down. I think it's a team with great potential, But I don't see that consistency that you need. And so at some point, and I always felt this as a coach, mid-October, that's when I start to know what kind of team I have. Yeah, we can have some up and down performances in September, but we've got to start to hit this groove to define who we really are. And I think the Cowboys need to define who they are.
Coach, you know, you were obviously one of the big forward-thinking defensive minds when you were out there coaching. When you look at the Cowboys' run defense, we're all trying to figure out what is this? Is this personnel? Is it scheme? Is there effort? What's the issue here? When you look at Dallas's run defense and some of the struggles they've had, what stands out to you?
I think it's a little bit of everything. This day and age is different. This game, as a defensive coordinator, you're coming in to stop the pass. There's no doubt about it. That's how you win games. And there's very few teams that are going to do what Baltimore did and just say, hey, we're going to pound it and run it. You've got to be able to come up with schemes and systems in those type of games that work. And you're not going to need them all year. You might need them five games out of 17. But when you need it, you've got to have it in your bag. And I think the Dallas just wasn't quite ready for that. And they've got to get that going. Now, they against the Giants, they shut them down. That wasn't a great running attack, and it wasn't a team that you fear. This Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be different. They're going to come in, and there's no doubt in my mind they're going to try to test them running the football. So Dallas is going to have to be ready.
You know, Coach, we've asked the question about Mike Zimmer and if, like, what he's trying to do is like a little outdated. Do you think that's part of the case?
No, I don't. You know, people can look at it that way, but it's not the case at all. We actually went through this our Super Bowl year in Indianapolis in 2006. We had a dynamic offense with Peyton Manning. We're putting up a lot of points. So we built our defense to stop the pass and to protect leads in the fourth quarter. In the first part of the year, we were ahead most of the time. We're winning games. It's not a problem. We started out 9-0. But in the second half of the year, the weather got a little colder. Our offense wasn't as efficient. We're in tight games. People are running the ball. And we lost four out of, I think, seven games coming down the stretch. And our run defense was not very good. We had some injuries, just like the Cowboys are facing. We lost Bob Sanders for a time. And we weren't the same. And people were running the ball on us. But we got to the playoffs, and we knew what we had to do. And we didn't change the scheme at all. So I don't think with Coach Zimmer it's the scheme. Sometimes it's just emphasis. They are going to have to emphasize run defense this week, in my opinion, because if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers with what I have and I've got a young quarterback, I want to run the ball and see if Dallas can stop it.
Coach, we talk about Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, that connection that they have there. And if yeah. you were on the Pittsburgh side, and given that you say this is a league where you're trying to stop the pass now, how would you be looking at trying to defuse that connection, which has been so successful for the Cowboys the last couple of years?
You have to disrupt timing. You have to shift the coverage to CD and know where he is. And there's no question. You get these offenses like this, Malik Nabers. You got to know where he is and know that the ball is going to him in big situations and try to force them to go to the second option. Pittsburgh is not a heavy man-to-man team. So in your zone concepts, every zone player has to know where CD is and focus on him when he comes in your area. And that's how you try to do it, make them go to the second option. And it's not easy. And you know that he's going to catch some balls. I mean, he's a dynamic guy. You're not going to go out there and shut him out. But you want to take away the big play and in the big situations, try to make him go somewhere else.
How would you defend Fields, Tony? And are you buying that he's a much different guy than he was in Chicago?
He's different. I think he's getting different coaching from Arthur Smith. They've got a better team. He doesn't have to do everything. He's not taking chances, trying to make the big play all the time. But he's still a guy that the mobility is the number one thing. So as you're rushing the passer, you've got to design your rush lanes. Everybody's got to be disciplined. You can't just tee off on him like you would a pocket quarterback. And, I think if you're the Cowboys, you want to make him throw the ball. We've got to stack the line of scrimmage, take away the run, try to get him in second and longs and third and longs. Make him throw, keep him in the pocket, and see if he can beat us from the pocket.
Tony Dungy here on the official home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. We have a lot of fun with Micah versus TJ. Obviously, Micah's not playing. Where do you put Watt on your list of pass rushers with Myles Garrett or Bosa or Crosby along with Micah? Is TJ one for you, Coach?
I don't know who's one. Mike Tomlin would tell me TJ's number one, and I've watched a lot of film with Mike yesterday, seeing him get chipped, double teamed. Same thing with Micah Parsons. They move Micah around a lot more. They move Myles Garrett around a lot more. TJ Watt lines up on the left side of the defense. You know where he's going to be. You want to stack your line that way, turn your center that way. You want to chip with a tight end. You know where he is, and he's had to defeat all that from one position. That's why I kind of like TJ Watt if I was ranking them. But Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons, Max Crosby, it's a tough top five. You put those guys up there, and you could shake them out of a bag, however they come out, you'd be happy with any of the five of them.
Tony Dungy joining us here at 105 through the Fan. So Coach McCarthy is in the final year of his contract.
And Zimmer,
yeah. So the term, the lame duck term. I thought in the offseason the team should have given even a one-year extension just to avoid players maybe checking out or making it easier on them to check out. Is the reality there that it does play a role, the coach's contract does play a role?
It depends on where you are. As I said, I was in Pittsburgh yesterday. If Mike Tomlin was in the last year of his contract, we wouldn't even be talking about it because they haven't fired a coach in 54 years. So it wouldn't matter. Okay, Dallas Cowboys is a different situation. Some other teams is a different situation. I love being in the last year of my contract. Frankly, it didn't happen very often, but I always thought I was going to prove that I would be more valuable to you. You're taking the chance. You let me get to the last year of my contract and we go to the Super Bowl, then I'm going to hold up the bank, you know. Yep. So I it didn't bother me, and I don't think players worry about that much. The outside noise comes in, yep. And when you're in Dallas, that noise is louder than it is probably any place else in the country. So if you're Jerry Jones, you have to think about that. It's not a big deal for him, and it's not a big deal for Coach McCarthy, but the noise is going to accelerate, and sometimes you have to do something to take care of that noise. If you're in Pittsburgh, you just say, hey, we'll get it done. Don't worry about it. Coach Tomlin's going to be here, and we'll get it figured out, and nobody's going to care because in 54 years it hasn't mattered.
Do you think, Tony, that you could have won big and thrived here in this atmosphere, and how many of your other coaches – friends in the circle are just like, I would never go work there, or I would love to go work there under the spotlight?
You know what? I think if you do it right, and you know, you can thrive anywhere. And there are some people that have thrived under Jerry in Dallas and would have enjoyed it. I would have enjoyed it, I think. I've been around him in owners' meetings and league meetings and stuff and competing against them, and it would be fun. People told me not to go to Tampa. When I got the job here in 1996, it's a graveyard for coaches, and you can't look at it that way. It's an opportunity if you can respect and work with the people that are there. That's all that counts, and I would have enjoyed working there, I think.
Coach Dungy, when you look at the fact that the Cowboys are without DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons in this game, and then Deron Bland still is not back in the secondary, there's a question about Kalen Carson being available in the secondary for them this week. Which do you think would be easier to try and scheme up? Coverage while you're down a couple guys, or scheming up pressure while you're down a few guys?
It's hard to create pressure. You need those great pass rushers. I think that's a big factor. They've done a pretty good job without Bland, and it's difficult when you lose a great cover guy like that. But I can tell you this, when you lose great rushers, it really is hard. Now, in Dallas's favor, Pittsburgh has some injuries on their offensive line, and so it's not going to be quite as critical, I don't think. And the fact that if you can come up with a run-stopping plan, I think you then put Pittsburgh behind the eight ball. If you were playing if you're playing Patrick Mahomes and you don't have your pass rushers, that's a real problem. But this week, I think if Coach Zimmer can scheme up a way to stop the run, I think they're going to be okay.
Coach, you and Monty Kiffin kind of famously became tied to the whole Tampa 2 scheme. There's been the recent push, most notably from Mel Kiper, where he says, need to eliminate two high safeties. That's got to go away. It's just killing the offensive game. What are your thoughts on the idea of eliminating two high safeties?
I saw that, and I had to laugh and chuckle, as Mel Kiper thinks it just came into existence last year. Two high safeties came to the NFL in 1972. Bud Carson brought it to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ooh. That's where I got it from. I was a rookie in 1977 and learned how to play cover two from the great Steel Curtain people. So it's been here 50 years. John Stallworth, Len Swan, those guys practice against cover two and ate cover two up against us in practice. We played cover two, and that's what really kind of brought the tight end into the league. Al Davis went out and got some big-time tight ends to try to get down the middle against cover two. Cleveland played us twice a year. They drafted Ozzie Newsome, who went to the Hall of Fame attacking cover two. So this is not a new problem or a new situation. You just have to learn how to attack it. Don Coryell and Joe Gibbs, I can tell you this, they almost ran me out of the league putting up 50 points against cover two. So don't tell me it can't be attacked.
Why do you think scoring is down?
Scoring is down because I don't think we practice much. Yeah. When your veterans don't play in the preseason, it's funny, this game, I was talking with Coach Tomlin, my second year, 1978, I was a second-year player for the Steelers. We played the Cowboys in the last preseason game. Roger Staubach threw 50 passes in that game. They beat us on the last drive. We had Jack Lambert and Joe Green and all our guys in there trying to stop it. They scored with 29 seconds left. We put Len Swan and Terry Bradshaw back in trying to win the game. And both of those teams ended up playing in the Super Bowl that year.
Hmm.
Now, if you try to get your guys ready like that, they would kind of run you out of the league. But I don't think we practice enough. I don't think the sharpness is there early on. Now, you're going to see some good offense, and you're going to see some highly skilled things going on in November. But I just think we need to practice more.
Absolute treat to have you on every single time. Thank you so much for the amazing interview. Football Night in America, the Hall of Famer Tony Dungy on the home of the Cowboys. Thank you, Coach. We'll be watching Sunday night.
All right. It should be a fun one. I'm expecting a shootout.
In the rain, maybe, possibly. With the...
That's what I hear. I'm not happy about that because we'll be on the sideline. So hopefully it doesn't rain. But it's going to be a good one. Anytime Steelers-Cowboys play, it's always fun.
Thank you, Coach. You're awesome. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Tony Dungy on the D&M Leasing Hotline, a baseball legend created last night, and the end of Vince McMahon, then Mike McCarthy, all in this hour with Sean and RJ.
3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
He did it! Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead.
Pete Alonso, instant Mets legend, with the three-run homer to knock out and stun Milwaukee. Who's more stunned last night, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Milwaukee Brewers?
Ooh, that's a great question.
It was a 7% win percentage for the Mets heading into the ninth.
And it was a 7% with 22 seconds to go for the Falcons.
I got to feel like you, Tampa, I would think. Because, I mean, when you get
said that so convincingly.
No, because, I mean, just when you get into that position of, like, Alonso's up with two on, that feels like, oh, yeah, this could very easily turn pretty quickly because it's Pete Alonso.
I think, here's the thing, you know, both of those games you really had to watch at points to really gain, I think, how big that both comebacks were. That was, it was incredible by Atlanta after the interception. And if you watch any of that baseball game, not only were the Mets scoreless through, like, eight innings, they couldn't even get deep into counts. That's how bad their offense was that entire game.
I'll say this. I went into the ninth, like, I didn't think game was over, but I did think when Cousins threw the interception, I thought the game was over.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I feel like Tampa.
I mean, it was becoming clear that Atlanta was going to get the ball back with a minute or more to go with the way that final Tampa drive was going. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, a couple passes, and you're in field, especially these days in field goal range. But
midfield, man, it's field goal range now.
The Atlanta Falcons stun Tampa. Cousins throws for over 500 yards and four touchdowns. And Pete Alonso sending the Mets to the next round. Listen to the teams in the second round. Well, I have the biggest win differences that were expected in Major League Baseball at the beginning of the season. All right, so the teams that exceeded and failed with their win total expectation.
We didn't have a 100-game winner.
The Guardians and Brewers both plus 12.5.
Wow.
What Vegas had for them. Kansas City plus 9.5. And the Athletics actually plus 9 wins.
Good for them.
The teams furthest away from their win totals. Chicago was minus 23.5.
I assume you mean the White Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Chicago White Sox. The Marlins minus 19.5. The Braves minus 15.5. Your Rangers 13.5 games off the pace what Vegas had for us, and then Toronto 12.5. So look at those teams in the better category with Cleveland, Milwaukee, Kansas City, all moving on. With the surprise, a huge surprise factor from that standpoint before the season started. Okay, last night another part of Thursday Night Football was Al Michaels
And you put my brain in a pretzel last night with your Al Michaels takes.
Man, I'm glad I can do that to you.
Good gosh.
That's my goal every day.
Al Michaels.
Alsomnia. In a pretzel.
Al Michaels on McAfee when being told, some people think, are you getting a little bit boring these days in your older age?
I don't scream the game at you. I don't holler the game at you.
Never have.
You know?
Oh, right?
No, never have. And you know, when people go back and they say, Pat Summerall was one of the greatest of all time. And he was. Remember how Pat did the game? Second and five. Gain of three. Right? He didn't blow you out. You have to save it for the moments. And I think when you look at, like, Joe Buck, you look at Jim Nance and myself, and we did, you know, like 17 of the last 18 Super Bowls. We don't scream the game at you. We don't holler the game at you. But there's a whole bunch of people around the country. Look, it's a very diverse country of 330 million people. And there are some who want you to, whoa, it's 4-2 in the basketball game. Whoa, if it's 4-2, where do you go at 102 to 101? Yeah. Where do you go?
Yeah.
You got to leave some room.
Yeah.
So, CD Lamb scores a touchdown. So what am I supposed to do? Scream my guts out?
Don't clap.
No. Yeah, definitely don't clap because of criticism you've levied at Al before.
That's because Al...
Your nickname.
You call him
Alsomnia.
That's because Al is literally asleep, not because of his style of broadcasting. There was a time in the world where Al was not only great, but the best to ever do it, or one of the best to ever do it. This is really just... Look, and I like Gus Johnson and Kevin Harlan in big games. NCAA tournament games, NBA playoff games, but I could, if they never do a regular season game again, I'll be more than happy. Because it's just too much, man. It's just too much. Al does regular season games the right way. Now, does he fall asleep in a big game? Absolutely.
The issue was that the Chargers-Jaguars game, there's a playoff game a couple of years ago where
Game. Yeah, he needed to be bigger.
The game was determined on that play, and he's like, and the Chargers turn over the ball. So, like, he's not even accurate when he says, you got to save those for the big moments. Like, well, the game was decided, a playoff game was decided, and you got crushed for going, all right,
possession. Al doesn't have that anymore. He doesn't have that ability anymore. But I think, I'm just talking about his philosophy.
Doesn't need enough veggies.
His philosophy is, I like.
Mike McCarthy coming up at 8:40. You will not want to miss that as Coach is heading back to his hometown. All right, let me finish up with this Vince McMahon 6-part documentary on Netflix. We've gone through the growth. We've gone through steroids. We've gone through Hogan. And now we have to go through the downfall. It is very, very difficult when watching all this and hearing and seeing all the stories, not to believe that Vince McMahon is guilty of being an absolute creep. I mean, it's almost impossible not to believe that he's guilty of the text messages, the harassment, the sex trafficking, all these things. He starts off, again, the very first scene, they're like, what are you thinking right now? What's on your mind? He's like, well, sex. Yeah,
listen.
Sex is, I'm always thinking about it. I really am.
We don't need the trial to know that Vince is a creep, okay? If it is in your DNA to ever grow a pencil-thin mustache,
yeah,
you are guilty of whatever you're being charged with.
June 22nd, paid out $3 million in hush money. He canceled the final interviews with Netflix and then cried about the portrayal of me, the way that you're making me look. $12 million to 4 different women over 16 years. I was ticked off they never got his wife on camera to ask about getting cheated on or all the affairs. They didn't sit her down or they didn't have that conversation. And then I think the best clip that encapsulates Vince McMahon, who he tries to say is different from Mr. McMahon, they're exactly the same. The son left the company for a long time. He was expecting Shane. He was expecting to be the third generation. And they're like, no, Stephanie is more like Vince than Shane. Shane's too nice. And here is a story from an amazing storyteller, Paul Heyman. This is Paul Heyman talking about
Brock Lesnar,
a dispute that Vince and his son had one day about the business.
Most definitive moment I've ever seen between Vince and Shane was a creative argument that happened one night. Shane had an idea that he really believed in, and Vince totally disagreed with it. And with most things that happen with Vince, once they start to escalate, they escalate really fast. And Vince finally turned to Shane and he said, "Not while I'm alive." And Vince, who was eating something, took his knife and handed it to Shane. And he says, "Right there. Come on. Right there. If you want this so bad, stick the dagger right here. Because that's what you're going to have to do to make that decision. And if you don't stick the dagger right here, then I know you're not man enough to do it. And I have to take that into consideration as well. Or you can buy me out the way I bought out my father. And if I don't get out of your way, be prepared to get rid of me the way I would have had to get rid of my father when he wasn't doing things my way at all."
What a storyteller. But no matter family member, relationship, Vince McMahon, his first love, true love, was the WWE and WWF wrestling. Everything else, backseat. Everything else, backseat to the business. And then once it became public and you get shareholders, he was forced out twice because of all the sex scandals. He also could have bought the UFC. Shane wanted to buy the UFC when it was available. Vince is like, no. They went through the XFL failures as well. And now there's Vince McMahon with his pencil mustache.
Sounds like Vince's first love was Vince McMahon.
He's insane.
Yeah, he's insane. He's an insane man.
Like that story.
Here, go ahead, kill me.
It's such a great like dramatic, and the music is swelling, so it's easy to forget about like, no, this is legitimately a father and son, him going like, "Murder me to get your creative idea on TV."
What are we doing here?
What a psycho.
You will not want to miss by far Mike McCarthy's best appearance of the season with us. Coach McCarthy previews the Steelers right after this. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show every Friday with Sean and RJ, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys, Steelers, Sunday night right here on this radio station. And Coach McCarthy is joining us to preview going back home here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Doing well, gentlemen. Missed you guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well. We missed you as well. So Bobby is going to cover the game. Give us a little Pittsburgh tour. We've been asking Steelers insiders, where could Coach end up? Where does Bobby need to go? Like, what are some of the things that Bobby needs to check off while visiting Pittsburgh?
Oh, I mean, there's so many great areas. Do you know where Bobby's staying at? Is he staying downtown, or is he on the south side? Or
I'm staying with you guys.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit of a, you got a little bit of a ride. We're staying out there by the airport. But, I'd venture into the downtown area. I mean, there's a lot of great spots down there.
Now, we got a pizza place?
Yeah, Chris Max at Minio's, right?
ALO's. Murray Avenue, can't go wrong. You got ALO's and Minio's right there in Squirrel Hill. So, it doesn't get any better than those two spots.
Now, what type of pizza is Pittsburgh pizza? Is it?
I would classify more, like the traditional family owned, which I think is best. You know, the dough's fresh. You got to have a great sauce, and they're definitely not cheap with the all the other ingredients. So it's not the prefab.
Right. It's like New York pizza. It's not like these fake other pizzas, like Detroit pizza.
Hey.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to disrespect anybody. That's your job. But it's great pizza, and it's frankly, it's just something. Anytime as you travel the country, I always compare it to it. They got a number of great spots back here, but those two right there, you can't go wrong.
And of course, swing by the McCarthy Bar, correct?
Yeah. I haven't been in there in a while, so it's neighborhoods change a little bit. But yeah, good luck. But yeah, no doubt. I'm just kidding.
They got a big ass Bobby sign on the wall. Do not serve. Deny.
No, it's a great. It's a great, great spot. It's a good local bar. But yeah, go in there, and I know they have cold beer, so you'll be okay.
How many friends and family are going to be in the stands?
Oh, I think we're over 30, at the last count. So, yeah, we got quite a few coming.
Does that make this game like more like not stressful, but I mean, just the dealing with the ticket requests and everything? Is that just kind of a pain in the butt?
Frankly, I think I'm used to it. You know, it's. I mean, you're on such a schedule, you know, in this business. So, you know, I mean, from the time you land, and you know, so my day is always structured that way. And you know, I am looking forward to it. You know, personally, to just be able to see my parents and in my family, you know, Saturday night for a couple hours. So I'm thankful for the Sunday night game, because you know you do have that, you know, a block built in. You know, I'll be able to get out of the hotel for a couple hours.
We're used to these terrible towels invading everywhere. You expect that usual large portion of Cowboy fans to show up Sunday night on the road?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, our fans are incredible. I mean, you know, there's never, you know, a hotel that we don't pull up to that they're, you know, they're there to greet you. So I think it'll be an incredible, incredible atmosphere Sunday night.
Mike McCarthy brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company here on 105.3 The Fan. Coach, with all these injuries, how much tougher has this one become given the big names you guys are missing?
Well, I mean, it's part of your season every year. I mean, it's you know, when you do have your, you know, big name players, you know, go out, it's really an opportunity for your young guys, and it's something that you're really preparing for. So, I mean, that's why we talk about that 90-man roster so much when we're, you know, going through training camp and so forth, where you guys are up there, you know, relaxing in Oxnard doing nothing. But this is what it's for. And our young players and just really the way you move the responsibility and the roles around too. So I am excited to see some guys get more opportunities Sunday night.
Coach, Tyler Guyton, Trayvon Diggs, Rico Dowdle, they all popped up on the injury report yesterday. Any updates in general on how they're doing?
I haven't seen them yet this morning, but I'm not of high concern. You know, we had a heck of a practice. You know, it's really the heat's cranked up here the last 2 days, and our guys did a great job plowing through it. So, but yes, I think it was just more in response to the type of practice we had.
Coach, just as a general, like, coaching philosophy, when it comes to running the football, like the term establish the run has existed for so long within the game. How much of running the football effectively is about committing to it until things click?
Well, establishing the run, I mean, you know, the answer is in the question. I mean, to establish the run, you have to have attempts. That's why I always talk about the attempts, because, you know, the more you run the ball, the more effective you will be. But I think there's other things too, you know, in your offense, you know, as far as, you know, because controlling the run obviously gives your, you know, a number of great things come out of it. You know, it's an opportunity for the run blocking unit to get off on the ball and get after the defensive front. Then a play action comes off of that. Then I think the obvious is the time of possession and the control of it. But, you know, you can also control the time of possession in different, you know, phases of your passing game too, and some of your perimeter schemes. So I think it's important to have all those things. And, you know, statistically, you know, it's this time of year. I mean, when you're answering questions in the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season, you're, you know, always talking about the ones that may not be balanced the way you are. And that's kind of just where we are. And I think it's more reflective. It's more reflective of the type of games we've been in, you know, because, you know, from our analytics, you know, we've had almost 4 quarters of 2-minute offense. So, you know, that's always going to skew your numbers as far as your normal down and distance production and attempts.
Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Coach, forecast looks like a lot of rain, looks like a pretty dreary game coming up here. How much does that impact potentially the things that you guys like to do in terms of planning for what you want to do offensively?
I mean, it's definitely something that we're, you know, cognizant of. You know, we did the wet ball drills last week and didn't need it. You know, we'll do them again, you know, tomorrow, just to make sure we're ready there. But yeah, it's, you know, it conceptually, you know, you don't have to get out of a whole lot, but you're definitely aware of it. And you know, I've made the mistake as a young coordinator, maybe taking out too many things. I think the biggest thing is you got to go into it, and you know, because I don't know if you know this, the weathermen aren't always right.
Right.
So we'll see what happens, but yeah, we're definitely watching the forecast. I'm more concerned about the surface and the shoes than I am the actual rain, because you know the key is the wind. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, the moisture in the air is. I mean, you're gonna have moisture in the air anyways. It's playing on the rivers, right there at the at the Monongahela and the Alleghenies, you know, in the connection to the Ohio.
That's right.
If you were wondering, it'll be right there on the water. But so there's going to be moisture in the air anyways. So we just got to make sure we get out there and have the right shoes on, and hopefully there's no wind.
Coach, saw you answer a question about the downfield passing game earlier in the week. How much are you having to adjust, or how much more challenging is your play sheet with this younger offensive line that you guys are having to put out there? Is that affecting you a lot in terms of the passing game and what you're calling deeper, or no effect?
I think it's a combination of things. Yeah, very cognizant of the two young players up front. I mean, I think it's stating the obvious, but you know, I do think they're doing a good job. And the other part of it, too, is goes back to Bobby's question earlier, is just the fact that the run game, you know, your action pass game is obviously a great platform to get the downfield throws off of, too. So, you know, the combination of those things are you know, is part of the thinking.
Mike McCarthy joins us here at 105 through the Fan. We've been inundated with, you know, social media posts and texts and calls asking about Dalvin Cook. What has been keeping him off the field? What are you not seeing from him in practice that hasn't allowed him to play?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious is the transition, you know, and that's both, you know, physically and you know, everything that goes into that. Then there's the language part of it. You know, he took some reps yesterday in the team periods. So yeah, we're definitely moving him forward. And but you know, the other part of it too is, you know, I think Rico and Zeke, you know, they haven't been given a lot of opportunities too, so it isn't like they haven't done anything, you know, to warrant, you know, that their opportunities, you know, decreasing right now. So it's a great place to be. You know, it gives us excellent depth. You know, it's a healthy situation to be in.
How has Fields looked on tape compared to what you saw from him a couple years ago when we played?
I think the thing I see is I see a guy that's more comfortable in the passing game. I think that goes a little bit with the expectation. I think he's done a nice job getting through the progressions. You know, you see the ball going to the checkdowns, you know, more than I recall. But yeah, I think he's really starting to be comfortable in this new system. But you know, when he scrambles, he's looking to throw before he runs. We definitely got to keep him in the pocket. That's for sure. Cause you know, his mobility is very dangerous. But you know, he can make all the throws and seems to get more and more comfortable each week.
Do you have to approach him in a similar way you would like a Lamar Jackson type, where you want to limit the running? Is that how you got to approach it?
Well, they haven't ran him like that yet, you know. So, I mean, you definitely got to be conscious of it because, he has that ability. And if you do recall when they did come in here, you know, a few years back, and it's kind of when they went to the, you know, they were not running him or running it as much leading into that game, you know. So they did have a big game, you know, with the different perimeter, you know, quarterback option runs and deceptives coming off of it too. So we definitely got to be cognizant of it.
Coach, you're going to be without Brandon Cooks this weekend. Who are the receivers you're really counting on to step up? And what did you like about Ryan Flournoy when he was coming out of college and what you guys saw from him during training camp?
Well, I mean, Ryan, what you loved about him in college, you know, just his ability to go high point to football, go get the football, you know, his contact balance is, you know, something obviously at the level he played out that played that stood out there, but he's definitely carried that with him, you know, here for us. So just love his physicality, love his play temperament. But you know, he's young, and this will be a really good opportunity for him because you know he just needs polish. But you know, this is a young, physical, aggressive, you know, receiver, and I think he's got a lot of really good football in front of him. So this is a big week for him.
Coach, what's your philosophy, even though you broke the news to us that weather people can be wrong?
That's right.
What's your philosophy on the weather?
I'm hoping. I'm an optimist. I was hoping they're wrong. I'm not a pessimist.
How extreme do you get? I heard Belichick the other day get really extreme with wet balls in practice. How extreme do you get with it? Like, how many days did you dedicate this week to a wet football for Dak and the other guys to handle?
Well, we did it 3 days last week, so we'll just do it twice this week. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, especially in the climate that, you know, it came from, you know, you got to watch your quarterbacks. You know, we actually have a lot of our assistant coaches and other guys throw because, you know, you don't want, you know, we don't want Dak out there throwing 50 wet balls. You know, that's, you know, it's just So that is part of it. But yeah, we'll definitely make sure we're ready to go.
Which NFL head coach is most likely to use an umbrella during a game?
God, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear your answers, and you better keep me off that list.
No, you're not. You're definitely not on it. Okay, Pittsburgh guys, they know better.
It's got to be McVay, right? He's too pretty.
Yeah.
He's got to keep everything together.
Hair straight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Coach, you're always talking about managing the game. Is this even more emphasis on this one with the way we think it might go in terms of a defensive battle or maybe a little bit more scoring or the weather conditions, really valuing those possessions even more and a true manage the game type contest on Sunday?
That's your best question you've ever asked me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, interview over. You don't have to answer. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, best football question. But, no, I think that's a great observation because, you know, even if going into the game without the weather, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, you know, I think the way they want to play with, you know, running the football and the way they're playing defense, especially at home, you know, the point totals have been really low at home and traditionally always have been. So, this is a game that we got to really make sure we go into it trying to max out every – not that we don't try to max out every series, every game, but very cognizant of it too. But I do think – historically, when you play, you know, this team, I know for me personally, it's, you know, there's a great chance that this is going to come down to the last, you know, the last series of the game. And you know, that's why we spend a lot of time on situational offense and defense and game management type situations. Today is a big day for us in that area. So, but yeah, I think in preparation, it'll definitely be highlighted from our standpoint.
Hey, Coach, last one for you. There was a player poll done by The Athletic. Worst visiting stadiums or places to go. Both of them actually were very near and dear to your heart. It was Green Bay because of the weather, but the other one was Pittsburgh, and they said, the visiting locker room smells like urine. Can you confirm that the visiting locker room in Pittsburgh smells like that?
No, I don't recall that. I mean, I haven't been there since 2017, but... Yeah, it's interesting, you know, just like talking to Zach Martin earlier in the week. He's, you know, I think maybe it's the only time he's played there is 16. And, you know, I mean, a lot of guys think it's the best, you know, opposing stadium to play in, you know, they felt the same way about Green Bay. So more of the fans and the atmosphere. But, yeah, I couldn't comment on the locker room.
Coach, this was amazing. Thank you so much for the tour of Pittsburgh. Best of luck on Sunday night. We can't wait for it again next week. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great week.
RJ Choppy with a warning for your wallet. Vegas is baiting Dallas Cowboy Tolos. Final hour of the week with a football degenerate on Sean and RJ next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.